Join us here at Last Adam Tabernacle as we bring Christ to the nation.
Good morning, church. Praise the Lord. Yes, greet your neighbor once again on my behalf. Atemwa abafumbo, sometimes don't even greet yourself. So this is the time. Yes. Some people, some married people greet themselves when they are told to. Yeah? They realize, Mark can remember, did I greet Lydia this morning? She's even shaking. He didn't greet you. See, I'm in the spirit already. Glory to God. Yes, we thank God for what is happening. I really want to thank God for Alan's life. Hallelujah. Alan has been in this church for a very long time. And for me, from my vantage point, I saw Alan at a certain stage, and now I can barely recognize Alan. Yeah? I see his path shines brighter and brighter. Yeah? So when he comes here and he testifies, Alan is one person I know who will never get chased away for his testimonies because they are brief. But when you get a moment, when you get a moment and you want to really know what God is doing in Alan's life, please arrest him before he goes and he will tell you. Because for some of us, he shares with us sneak peeks into his life. And I'm like, what? Is this Alan? Alan of 2015, 2016. I look back and I'm like, wow. Like God can really transform people's lives. And to me in this church, Alan, you are one of those people. Yeah. So I really thank God for just, not just, oh, not only Alan, but for, because he came here to testify, and because I just felt that Alan does a lot of injustice to his testimonies, but please, and I know why he does that, but please arrest him and ask. Alan has a great testimony, yeah? And his testimony spans years, through the years, not so, yeah? So, I thank God for that. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen and amen. I'm glad once again to be here to minister. It's not something I take for granted that I'm supposed to minister every Sunday, whether it's in children's church or up here. And also, it is very, very humbling what you go through as a minister, if you really, really love God and you take time to prepare for your sermons. It's so, so humbling, yeah? And part of the humbling is how God confirms to you what you are supposed to teach. That to any minister. When a confirmation comes to you in whatever, whether it is what you feel in your heart or by way of a dream or a prophetic word, the moment you get that go-ahead from God, it's like how your boss tells you at work, you have done well. Please go ahead. Do this. It's so amazing. So even as I stand here today, I'm so elated. And you're going to get to know why in the next few minutes, yeah? So today we're going to talk about patience. Patience. Patience, patience. Yes, Mark Namanya even did like this. I pray that you're patient with me. First of all, as I go through this sermon, your patience, I need your patience as in terms of paying attention. I know it's a bit warm, so we can get sleepy. I may be boring. Just be patient with me. Hallelujah. Do I have your commitment on that? Yes. So I would like to invite Esther to come and share with us a dream she had. When did you have that dream? Yesterday, during the day. But hey guys, before she comes, how many of you sleep during the day and you get dreams and you dream? Eh? For me, honestly, I'll tell you that I dream in the night. Dennis, do you dream during the day? Dennis, Yekalotela, do you dream during the day? I know Dennis's hours of dreaming. I know Christine dreams during the day sometimes. I know my son has dreamt during the day on his way, on a journey from Entebbe to Kampala. Besides those experiences, I don't know of any other. Yeah, but I was so amazed at this. Please come, I was so amazed at this. First time visitors, you're very welcome. You're very, very welcome. I see you. Our church is small, so I know all our members. So a new face pops up, it's easy to see. You're very welcome.
Yesterday afternoon, I had a dream. And in this dream, it was church service, and Pastor Joanne was the preacher. So she had a message for us, but each time she wanted to say it or preach it, she would just break down and cry. The crying wasn't this bad crying of something bad has happened, but it was the weight of the message that was going to be shared with us. So each time she would try to say what the Lord has put on her heart, she would just break down and cry. So we had those pauses in the church because she was breaking down, so we'd just have a worship session and then give her time to compose herself. And then, still in the dream, her husband, Mr. Simon Soke, came and encouraged her and told her, please go ahead, share that message with the church because it is for them. But each time she would try to, the weight of the message, I don't know, the weight of the message was too much, that she would just break down and cry. But she composed herself, and the service went on, and the dream ended. Oh, sorry. Yes, she started her, sorry, in the dream, she started her sermon. She kept on encouraging us to push in the dream as part of her sermon, but she had something to share with us in regards to pushing that would make her to break down and cry in the dream. Yes.
So I've come with a hanky, Christine. I need my advanced team, Christine, who else? Geraldine is not here. I'm looking for people who easily, yes, Grace Joy. Who are the people who have very easy waterworks? Please be my advanced team. Yes, but that dream was had yesterday during the day, and I was in a meeting, an online meeting, so Esther kept on calling me. At first, I know she calls using internet, WhatsApp, but I kept on switching her off because her call was interrupting my call. So eventually now she calls me on her line using, I think, airtime. I'm like, tomorrow I'm preaching. I take her to be bad day. You know, and you're like, now what is, if Esther is incessantly calling me, there is something. So her call cut me off, the other one, and now I answered her. I'm like, Esther, what's going on? So the first thing I asked her was, is it urgent? She tells me, well, no, I just had a dream. I'm just from having this weird dream. So I'm like, okay, tell me. So she narrates that dream to me. And it was, you know, a confirmation of what I wanted to share today. Yeah? And it's amazing. When Pastor asked me to preach, it was Thursday. So on Friday morning, which was Women's Day, I had a dream. And in that dream, there was a message which I felt was personal, very personal, because it's a personal dream. So I'm like, should I share? You know, as a leader, you have, or as a shepherd, you have to discern messages which are for the people and which are for you, you know? So I was in that place. But because it was personal, I had a strategy. I'm like, God, okay, I could share a bit of this dream, But this is how I'm going to share it. But even then I was, you know how you're like, because it's personal, I don't want, like, you know. But then I was like, okay, God, I'll obey you if you really confirm to me that I should go ahead and share. And so that was Friday. I told my husband about the dream. We interpreted it. It's a pretty straightforward dream. We interpreted it. And then now Saturday, during the day, as I'm praying through my personal dream, I think that is when Esther, because I asked her the time she had the dream, that is when now Esther had that dream. You understand the timings? So for me, I was like, what? You mean as I was there pacing around, yeah? My kids were swimming, I was pacing, praying, as just, you know, no, actually I was seated somewhere just praying through, you know, my dream, my personal dream, and then Esther called, you know, then Esther had that dream. I just felt like, wow, God, yeah? Some of the things that you go through, therefore the benefit of the church, first of all for you, but also the benefit of the church. So this is my dream. In the dream, I found myself downtown in Owino. And I was doing shopping. I was going to do shopping. But then I seemed to not know how to go around it. You know how downtown can be? But in the dream, it wasn't the downtown I know it as it is today. You remember that Owen of long time ago, where you're walking and people are touching you, pulling you, what? Now things have changed. Now there are shops, there are what? So I was in that space. And I was standing in a corner. And a friend of mine called Patience comes and tells me, Joan, now I've finished doing my shopping, so come I take you now. Then I followed her, and then that dream ended. So this dream was personal because, now let me give you the background of that dream. On Thursday when we came here for prayers, we prayed for LAT, largely for LAT. But I had something on my heart that was really pressing, was really, really pressing me. But we prayed for LAT, and I made sure that because I had told people to pray for LAT and I felt led to pray for LAT, I prayed for LAT. But on my way home, I start to have a conversation with God. That was Thursday. I'm like, but God, this thing, this matter, it's really pressing me, yeah? Then I go to bed. And now, then I woke up in the night. Again, I prayed. Now I pray to God. You know, in this season of push, you have the grace to pray. That's what I keep telling you. So I got up in the night and prayed. And when I can tell you that when I was praying to God, the things I prayed to God about on Thursday night, I felt they were the serious things, like nation-like level things. They were not personal things, God, what. But then still that issue that had bugged me during that day was still there. So at the end, after I finished and I felt like now I'm done, I tell God, okay, I know that I've spoken to you about these other things. Sort of like when God comes and tells Abraham. No, when Abraham tells God, after God tells him, I'm your exceedingly great reward. Abraham is like, yeah, but you know I don't have a son. You know I don't have my own child. So it felt like that kind of communication with God. So I tell God, but this issue, guys, really pressing me. So then I tell God, you know what? I'm going to bed. Feel free to talk to me about anything. Now, over time I have learned, and I keep telling you that God reserves the right on what to talk to you about. You can't force a dream. You can't force a topic. To me, this is just me, Joanne. So I always tell God, for me, anything you want to say, just say. I'm not going to limit you. So I went to bed, then I had that dream when I was in downtown. So of all the things that I felt were serious, God didn't talk to me about, didn't send me a dream in that line. He sent me a dream about the thing which was pressing me. Glory to God. So before I go into interpreting the dream, I just want to encourage you that when we are praying, when we are pushing until something happens, let's come from a place of relationship with God. And he really, really cares for you. Glory to God. He cares for those things that are pressing you, and he will address them. Hallelujah. So me, I thought God would go, you know, protocol me. This is the most important thing. Been able to be on number, like a thing that is pressing you. What? Eh? But I was like, hey, God, you mean you love me? You know, I was like, eh, God, you really, really love me. That you would care about something that is really on my heart. Like, you know. So I just want to encourage you. First and foremost, as you pray until something happens, you're coming from a place of relationship with your Father. He cares for you exceedingly, abundantly, intentionally for you. Hallelujah. And God, to me, was communicating that day. And then, now let me go ahead and interpret the dream. So, There is something like most of us here, we have promises from God. And there is a particular promise that God gave me. And I have been walking for a while now. I have been walking with the Lord concerning that promise, doing things that I feel are led of God. You know, the whole thing of you play your part and God does his part. So I would do things that I feel God leading me to. Like, for example, if God has promised you a promotion, you're like, okay, God, should I do this course? Shouldn't I? And then you got to go ahead from him, do the course. Then you go and do the course. Or should I put my papers here? And then God tells you, yeah, send in your papers. You go and you do that. But what was really pressing me on Thursday is one of the things which I did in line with that promise. As I felt led of God, hit a snag. Like, I just couldn't go on anymore. I just felt like, you know how you hit a dead end, yeah? You're going for God has promised you a promotion. You do that, put in your papers. They don't shortlist you. So you're like, now, God, what? You know, that kind of thing. God tells you, you go and invest money here. You go, you invest. The next day, meh, the kamane is gone. Yeah? You know those things? The answer is totally like, eh. You're like, but God, even here where I am, it's because it is you who led me. So the thing was pressing me. On Thursday, I wasn't questioning God, but I was like, God, now what? Now, it doesn't mean that when you pray to God about things, you don't go through the emotions of disappointment. So on Thursday, I had disappointment concerning that matter. I wasn't questioning God, but in this life, you feel disappointed. The way you felt. Yeah? And especially when you feel, God, I'm doing everything. This is not of me. This is you. Yeah? So I was going through the motions. And then that Friday morning, God comes and tells me, come, be patient. I will lead you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That is the interpretation of that dream. Now, there is more to that dream that is very personal. Maybe that is the part that would make me break down. But if I don't share it, then I'll not cry. So we shall get that out. But for the purposes of what God sent, the message that God sent through Esther, which was telling me you must share that thing with the church, it is this, that let us be patient as we pray for things to happen. Glory to God. Let us be patient, even in the midst of opposition. Even when things seem like they are not going well. I was so, you know, because it really depicted where I was concerning that matter. My dream depicted where I was concerning that matter. I was just standing there in the corner, just wait. I didn't know what to do. You know, and that is how God depicted me. I mean, no, we know, I'm overwhelmed, and I don't even know what to do. But you know what? And you know how Owino can... Hallelujah. Amen? I know that people shop from there, downtown. So I'm trying to be... I'm not trying to say that, but you know how Owino is. When you're going there, you have to dress a certain way. You have to make sure that... Bruce, why are you laughing? Where you have to to do the mind thing of, I am going to, Christine, don't you do that? I am going to, we know. Lydia, where am I going to park? Which shops am I going to? And I bet if you do not know anyone, like any particular place to go to, you know, you would get lost. You would get lost. You need a plug. Yes, that's what I was looking for. You need a what? A plug. Someone who can say, "Owine duka liri wano mukona wali." That is where they are selling what you want. You need something like that before you go down there. Otherwise, you will go and zunga the whole time. You'll even find yourself back where you started from because everyone is calling you. They are selling the same things. You're like, "Ati who is?" You know how Owino is. So, and I'm glad that when I'm even saying this, my son has an experience of going downtown. And he went downtown with his dad and a plug, yeah? And the dad was like, "Man, that place, you just cannot go there on your own." So even, you know, my son came back, it was a whole shopping experience, eh? You know what? This generation, hey, hallelujah. Yeah, I remember one of the first gifts that Sam gave me when he was dating me was a particular bag he bought from Owino. I think it was, at that point, it was 25K? It was between 10 and 25,000. Eka bag, bananga, I love that bag. And it was second hand, but I loved it, yeah? So, and I don't even know how he got it. But from my son's experience, he came back and he's like, "Mommy, yeah? Mommy, see all the things we have got from that place Owino. We went, by the way he described it, eh? We were crossing through like this. Then Uncle so-and-so took us like this. That man, he bargained." What? So it was such a good experience for you, Kwezi, not so? Yes, it was a good experience. So I'm sharing with you this to say, let us be patient. And there is grace to wait upon God as we push. Hallelujah. There is grace to wait upon God as we push. There is grace to be patient. Hallelujah. So what is patience? Patience is a state of remaining peaceful while waiting for an outcome, or the state of being able to bear up for some time under provocation or trials. In Galatians 5:22-23, it talks about patience as a fruit of the Spirit. Spirit, capital S, which is Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So you realize that you cannot have patience on your own accord. You have to ask for patience. Actually, after that day, after having that dream about patience and how I'll be guided when I am patient, I just told God, let's make an exchange. Let's do better trade. Let me give you all my stuff, yeah? Then for you, just give me patience. And I realized that, you see, in life, everyone needs patience. You need patience exercised towards you, and you also need to exercise patience towards people. Glory to God. So if we are going to experience God's very best as we push, let us remember, let us know that we are going to have to walk in patience. Patience doesn't come because we have willed it. No. Patience comes because it's a fruit of the Spirit. And we have to ask the Holy Spirit to give us patience. We live in a world where even now, no one wants to be told to wait. You don't want to wait on the road. You don't want to wait for what? You don't want to wait for your spouse. You don't want to wait for your children. As in Mwangwe, everything is fast. Either it's microwave, air fryer, Like things are just putting out. Before I thought we had microwave miracles, but do you know that right now we have air fryer miracles? No take a come on the 45 minutes, you have chips. Man, in fact, less than 45 minutes. You have chips, you have your chicken, done, which a microwave cannot do. So there are air fryer miracles. We don't want to what? To wait. And by the time God tells you to be patient, but God knows what patience is because he deals with you on a daily. He deals with you and I on a daily. And imagine the kind of patience God exercises towards us. So, in this life, you either find yourself being patient for someone, exercising patience towards someone, or you being in need of patience. But now, concerning the things that God is doing for you, that God has told you to push about, exercise patience towards them. Hallelujah. You know, as I thought about this, I was like, but now, if I'm not patient, what choice do I have? What choice do you have? You want to go and run ahead of God? Let me tell you something. The repercussions, and even as I say this, I want you to remember in your own life the repercussions of your impatience and how that has worked out for you. Bob, how has it worked out? For me, I don't have good results on that. The repercussions of walking because you're impatient, you cannot wait for God, far outweigh the longest time you'll ever take waiting for God to come through for you. Can I say that again? The repercussions, the results of you walking before God tells you to walk, or you walking in impatience, exercising impatience, far outweigh the longest time you think you'll ever wait for God. And the reverse of that is true. That when you wait for God and he comes through for you, the wait all of a sudden doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you waited 25 years. Like Abraham, the child of promise, came. At that point, it seems like, yeah, you can say it was worth waiting for. Glory to God. Yes, you say it was worth waiting for. Hallelujah. So, sometimes when we pray like this, Lord, like me, I first prayed, Lord, give me patience. Let's do better trade. Give me patience. I want it now. So I'm asking God to give me patience. I'm not even patient enough for him to answer that prayer. I'm like, God, give me patience. And I want patience now. And I don't even have the time to wait for that patience. Every time, you know, when God said prayer until something happens, I'm beginning to get deeper insight of that. That if you're going to pray until something happens, you're going to have to exercise patience for that thing to happen. So some things may actually take time, maybe longer than the 2 weeks and the deadline you gave God. Like Pastor Usualist talks about that person who said, that lady who told God, God, marriage this now. I tell you, if you don't, you'll get what? You will hear news. Me, I will broadcast from earth to you. You will hear news, yeah? So, patience, according to the Bible, includes an idea of suffering, long suffering, waiting long, yeah? Endurance, perseverance, and steadfastness. Hallelujah. So, when we pray for God, when we pray for this patience, we have to be willing to work with the Holy Spirit. First of all, just ask. Ask for God to help you, because if you don't ask God to help you, get patient. I tell you, yeah? We all have our experiences of how you have moved before God. Yeah, I remember some of those things and how they haven't worked out. And you don't want to go through it again. Hallelujah. Yeah. So, number one is that when we are patient with God, we express our faith to God. Yeah? Patience is an expression of faith that God will direct you. God will direct you. As I saw in this dream, I was being directed by my friend, patience. James 5, 7. This is a scriptural backing for that part in the dream. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. See how a farmer waits. as we exercise patience, this farmer waits in anticipation, in expectation. So when you're being patient with God, you're not being passive. As you're waiting upon God, like he hasn't told you no. Let me make this clear. When God tells you no, take the no and keep moving. When God tells you, Miriam, this one, no. Banang, don't go looking for scripture to why you should move. If you are said no, it doesn't matter which scripture you pick. It won't happen. It won't happen. But I've seen it many times. When you get when a believer gets a no from God, guess what they will do? They go into the Bible, look for a scripture as to why they should actually, why it should be a yes. And the moment they get the scripture, they'll feel like God has said yes. Why? Because they found the scripture that would be relevant to their situation. When God says no, take the no and move. But when he says wait patiently, wait as a farmer does. When a farmer plants things, he doesn't go and chill and he forgets all about his crops. He will come and weed them. He'll keep looking out for the first bud, for the second, the third. That is expectation that what he planted is going to bring forth fruit. So as we pray until something happens, Eleti, keep expecting something to happen. Glory to God. Keep expecting something to happen. That thing that I had been praying to God about, that promise, for me, hasn't yet materialized. But in the meantime, God has told me, wait. It shows that he's up to something. Glory to God. It shows that he's up to something. Psalm 135:5-6. I wait, David says, I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. You all know what security guards do in the night. They are always scanning the environment to see. Okay, the good security guard, not the ones that you know. I remember there is this guard that we had one day in our home. And they would drop off. You know how these guys at security firms drop off the guards in the morning and they pick them in the evening? So one day we left our car open. The security guard, you know what he did? He entered the car and he pashed, man, the whole night. So in the morning, I got to look for him because I had to open for him. The guy was like, I see the guy getting out of the water car and he's like, morning, madam. He's stretching his what? Like, morning, what? Good morning, madam. Has the truck come? That is the guard that we had then. He had spent that night in our car. Yeah. Yeah, so not like those guards. We shouldn't wait like that. A proper guard, a proper watchman does his job at night. He searches the walls of the city, scanning the horizon to see, is there what? An enemy. Yeah, a guard is supposed to move around your home, seeing if you have any blind spots. Meanwhile, in those days when we would get the security, like we would get... By the way, even paying for this service, yeah? So I remember every time they would change the guards, they would ask us to take the guard around the home. So you take the guard, you say, okay, this is where a blind spot is, this is where you'll be resting in the night, not sleeping, this is the restroom, this is, you know? Like, you show him basically around. And also, well, they would say, if you want, you can give them food, but you also give them food. That's what the security company would say. But many times, I would give that guard food because you're like, but anyway, I don't know. But I would give him, I'll make sure I prepare dinner for him. So one day, I prepared the dinner, and I think he came in, and over maybe he was drunk or something. He took me on. He's like, he didn't eat my food. So he's like, how can you give me every day I come here, you give me this type of food? The guard assured me, how do you give me this type of food? Even the food was cold. Yeah? I'm like, but I warmed the food, sir. Yeah? And you know, you have to humble yourself with this security, because he had what? He had a gun. So I'm like, but sir, I want the food. He's like, every day, me, I come here, you give me food, even the food is cold. Every day you give me the same kind of food. What kind of person are you? I'm like, sir, I'm sorry, but I want the food. If it wasn't like hot enough for you, you could just come and tell me. That was my guard then, yeah? And that is the guy who took the night in what? In the boss's car. He spent the night in his boss's ride. Glory to God. After that, I told him, sir, it's okay. I can't work with you anymore. So I called the security company, and then they changed and gave me another guy, yeah, for the night. And that one was better. So Psalm 130 says, I wait for the Lord, my soul waits. A waiting soul is the one that will watch out for hints. Just like that guard, you watch out for hints of what the Lord is doing, okay? You don't just pray, push until something happens, and you know you push here on Thursday. The moment you live like this, you're no bideka wano, no. Your soul, you have to keep a consciousness of what could the Lord be doing in this area. Is this a cloud as small as a fist? You know, can I see it coming? So a waiting soul is that kind of soul which is alert, which is conscious and waiting, like that farmer we talked about, for signs of the Lord's move. Glory to God. Whether you have a dream or not, you have to keep waiting for the signs. And that is what you should exercise as you are patient. During your patient period, wait, look out for the signs of what God is doing. And I'm so sure that God will send you the signs. Why? Because he is at work. The Lord is working. Hallelujah. You don't want to hear it because you think God is not answering your prayers. I am going to say it. God is working. He is working, whether you want it or not. Your emotions, how you feel, mukamandos, at what you call God, I don't care. Like, that doesn't change the fact that God is working. The fact is he is working and something is going to happen. Hallelujah. And as we wait, we don't complain. We don't complain. I feel like when we complain, as we pray or we sow seed in prayer, complaining uproots that which you're planting in prayer. Every time you complain, every time you say, but the wicked are prospering, but why don't I have this? But Alan testified. So, you know, every time you complain, you are uprooting the seed of prayer. You are giving the devil a chance to come into your garden and start removing the things that you planted. Okay? Number two, patience helps us to avoid working in our flesh. When God tells you, be patient, watch your number to do something. Tell me, okay, go on a fast. But people don't like to just be there and we wait. You want to be doing something. You want to be doing something. Let me use this example of, like, I see sometimes, and I've told Sam this, he's not here, but when he listens, he will hear. Sometimes when we're on the road driving, and then there is traffic, you know, like how men don't want to stay in one place? Usually, I've realized that for women, she'll say, ha, now if I take that shortcut, there are many potholes there. It's even longer. Let me just sit here and chill in traffic. Usually, that is the short and the long of the story of a woman on the road. Men, they want activity. It's as a jam, yeah? And that is those, you know, every time I asked, who knows Bulabira? I think this experience will come. Bulabira, eh? So you see it's a ring road. It's a loop. So there is where you start from at just after PK supermarket, yeah? So then it loops, it goes towards after there is a washing bay. So you cannot believe what my husband tells me, because usually there is traffic going straight. So we are there driving. Before I know it, zwi, we have turned. I'm like, are we going to pass the longer route through Kungu to our home? Or he's like, no, we are going to make the loop. I'm like, why are we making the loop? He says, because there is jam here. But in my mind, I'm like, but it is the same. As in, we are going to go. It is like from moving, you move from here, the loop, you still end here. And you instead of just wait in the jam. For me, that is how I calculate. But then we go like this, like this, like this. Sometimes we even get jam on the loop. But it satisfies him to feel like I'm not just seated in jam. I am the Ngwaliwochenkola. I'm doing something about this jam, yeah? So I'm like, but what is the problem here, yeah? So we go around the loop like this. Then, of course, you see, when you are two ladies in the car and there are three men, you lost that argument before it even started. So now my son starts giving us the vector. Yeah, there is jam here. Yeah, what? Then I realize that another excuse we have is that road has so many potholes. A straight road has so many potholes. Then I tell him, but do you know those wool humps that are on the loop? Yeah. You know how, you know those humps. Eh? I'm like, man, just go through these potholes like this, slowly we get out. Never, it's even jammed, so there is nothing like zwi through the potholes. It is going to be a slow one, then out. But the other side, you have ba 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 ba, you know? You're like, anyway, for me, up to now, I don't understand that calculation. I never do. The loop when I'm around. So people, you see, just the whole idea of sitting and waiting. Many people don't want that. You want to feel like you're doing something. Yeah? LIT 2025, we have to be doing something now. It's coming, be doing something. Yeah? You're ministering to your emotions. Luke 21, verse 19. By your patience, possess your souls. By your patience, possess what? Your soul. Now you know that in your soul you have your will, you have your mind, you have your emotions. Patience is one of those things that is going to put your soul on a chokehold. Instead of following what your mind is telling you, the logical thing to do, you know those things that God has given you a promise? You're going to get married. 2025 LAT, now we're more, hallelujah. Yeah? Then now the mind starts. The logical thing to do, kacholaba, first of all, your eggs, if you're a woman, first of all, your eggs are fried. Yeah? Will you give birth? Mm-hmm. Number two, 2025, do you even have money? But God hasn't told you to start what? Do you have money? Start saving, stop giving. Even that tithe can be something. That tithe only some abantu meka kumbaga. You know? Logical things, yeah? That is what the mind will tell you. And the mind may not tell you something negative, but the mind, the soul can tell you something carnal that is even not of God. The mind will not tell you go and sin. Sometimes, no. It will tell you things, but that are carnal, that you find yourself doing things purely in the flesh. They are not evil, but they are carnal, and they are just not of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God tells you, now 2025 is coming. You, I want land. I'm going to give you land. Then now, this all starts. You know, this business of land, eh? Logical now, you go logical. Or also, your emotions, you really, really want this land so badly. And then now, everything that you do is driven by emotion. Everything you do is driven by njagaletaka. You know, your love for land, that actually you find yourself going ahead of God. And then guess what? It will be very frustrating for you. We all have personal. If I called you to come and testify about how you have moved using your will, your mind, your emotion, your soul, how you didn't possess it by patience, I know the line would be long like this. Yeah, because all of us have that experience where you went into something because you liked it so much, but it was really never the right time for that thing. So, please, let us possess patience. Helps us to avoid working in the flesh, doing things, you're not sinning, but you're really doing things that are not of God. And eventually, by the way, you'll end up sinning against God. Just give it time. Give your soul time. Yeah? You'll end up sinning against God. You end up walking in compromise. Yeah? You end up walking in compromise just to get to that thing. Why? Because you did not possess, you didn't control your emotions. God has promised you that thing. But unless you are patient, your emotions will run rampage. You end up with someone who God is like, nah, yeah, I didn't even tell you this. You end up in a job because you just couldn't wait. Then you end up going for a job which was really never God's will for you. Okay? So if you give that soul enough time, you, that soul of ours, if it is not possessed, if it is not held back by patience, it will lead you into carnal things, and eventually you'll end up sinning against God. Hebrews 6:11-15. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I'll bless you, multiplying I'll multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Abraham had an oath. Eleti, we have an oath. You, at your level, in your individual life, there are things that are untrue. Maybe, like I said before, maybe God hasn't come to you and said, praise, I swear, yeah, in my playing. But God, there is an oath that God has made. There are things that he has to fulfill in your life. And to him, those things, he has sworn by them. All right? And it's an oath. Maybe you do not know it. And guess what? Just like Abraham, he also had an oath. Yeah? An oath is that paper. When you know how oaths are. When you sign an oath, you stamp out, me, the Lord, I'll do this for you. Abraham had that oath. But he also had to patiently endure. Now, the Bible is telling us to imitate Abraham. Yeah? Who, after he had endured patiently. But we also see from his life what moving ahead of God means. But concerning his son, the Bible said he endured. Concerning the son of promise. Okay? So, let us imitate our forefathers, Eleti. Let us not be doing something. They tell you now, church demographics, 50% of the people believe in the grace message. 40% of them believe in whatever. You know the church demographics. But these ones believe in deliverance. Then this one, now the biggest church, and this is how they grew. Now, funao chokola. Unless God tells you to do those things, don't go into them. Don't go into them. You wait. Don't let nobody koleza your seat on fire. Yeah, sometimes it'd be like, it's like as if there is a fire burning under our seats. So you start moving. I think we can all attest to one of the greatest things that I have gotten out of patience is God works on the inside of you during this time as your patient. So it's not, I don't know why many times we feel like when God tells us to exercise patience, it's not like we are passive. God is doing things on the eternal perspective. How will you ever minister to someone who is going through what you're going through if you have not endured it? If you haven't waited patiently, if you don't know that kapinch, yeah? So, I remember there is something I wanted to buy, and I think some of us have gone through a similar experience, and the money wasn't coming. But I really wanted to buy because, man, everywhere I would look, it is the thing to get. It is the thing to get. And my desire wasn't bad, by the way. It was really, really noble. But, and it seemed like when, like, you know those things how you feel like, okay, let me give an example of maybe a car, yeah? They say now, Subaru zezikute, yeah? And they are selling, and they are selling. Get a Subaru, get a Subaru. You talk to Bob, Bob tells you, huh? You guys, this is the most efficient, fuel-efficient car. You talk to Dennis, Dennis says, even the engine is working. Glory to God. He says, yeah, even the engine, it's working. You talk to Mark, Mark says, man, that car, I just drove it, sweet. I went, yeah? Mark, you know why I've done that one, yeah? Because I phoned him this morning, he was whistling, and we talked about whistling. Yeah? He said, yeah, when you drive that car, man, you just, yeah? That is how you be. You just go through traffic like that. And so I waited for, you know, you're waiting. I'm like, let me just be patient. And sometimes you turn to patience as a last resort. Why? Because you don't even have the money. So the default thing for you to do, you don't have anyone to give you the money. You don't have what? You don't have connections. And now the default thing is wait. Unless you're going to do something weird and God uses you as an example. But you're like, I'm not willing to do that. So anyway, you wait by default. By force, you wait. So after some time, something else came on the scene. The same thing, another, you know, you've seen that even with like phones, eh? As you think, I'm going to get iPhone Pro 15 Max, what? Even as you're still looking for the money, for the Pro, before you know it, these damn guys have rolled out a new series. You're like, but, oh, now they tell you that land is selling now, buy now. And God tells you, Dennis, those ideas you have, they are noble. But you what? You wait. 3 years down the road, the same broker who told you, want to all about, there will be a road. You see even there, Umeme is coming. You see the Airtel mast is going to be, you guys are in business. 3 years later, you go to the land, nga even the bay ya kolachi, yagwa. And it was, at that point when you wanted to buy the land, it was very expensive. But now 3 years later, God does something, maybe there is inflation, and the price of the land goes down, and God says, come, now buy. Glory to God. Amen. We bought our land many years ago. Our broker was a Munyankole woman. She told us where we are staying now. I remember I was in that meeting. She said, you guys, this is a landmine. This is gold. Yeah? You see this road here? I saw the city plans. The road is coming. In fact, the most you're going to, in fact, start building now. Yeah? When you buy it, start building immediately. So my husband is like, okay. So we look for the money, we buy. You guys, they are still working on the road. Yes, I think the plans were authorized or they were whatever just like 2 years ago. And in the meantime, we have had the back and forth of when is our road coming? We are eating dust. You see guys banging, what? UNRWA on Twitter. Yeah? Say, with this, we are eating dust. We are sleeping in dust. Our children are falling sick, you people. But when we are buying that land, man, she told us, even your neighbor, you see this person here? Is a Munyankole. And you know how Munyankole are. Later we realize the neighbor isn't even a Munyankole. See this neighbor here? He's a Munyankole. You guys are sorted. The road is going to be. And you see, where you're buying is a close. Yeah? It's a close like this. And you know, yes, it's a close. And the person she was referring to is at the extreme end. And now we're buying before. It's like, that Munyankole will make sure that this road is done. You just buy. even up to now, raising 2 million shillings for our clothes is a dream. I have to push. The clothes doesn't have a name. She said, by the way, they're even going to put a what? And those road signs. Eh? She said, no. You're Muzahari Yananka, at the municipality. Eh? Just get the sign. And even up to now, getting that sign, that I realized, eh? It's not easy. It's not. Unless we do it out of the policies and all that of the council. So she told us that time, you buy. But do you know how much I have to clean my house today? I'm always cleaning the dust, man. They're working on the road. I bless the Lord for that. But we bought that land over 10 years ago. And my car has taken the brunt of that road. The car has, I've seen later. And in fact, when she convinced us, we convinced my brother. That is how it works. He was looking for land. We said, you come. Iwe, come. You see this land here? We didn't need a new script. We already had it. We convinced my brother. That time he was out of the country. We told him, this one, gold. Ah, the road is coming. You see this? Yeah? Ah. He said, how much is it? Yeah, very quickly. He looked for the money. Bambi looked for the money he bought. Right now, every time they put another layer of maram, they call us to their home and we cut cake. And you guys, this is not a joke. We celebrate. We are like, Wanangi, our road is coming because the dust is too much. Sometimes when you wake up in the morning, you're like, is this morning dew? Oh, it is dust. Like you can really see it from very far above the trees. You're like, is this dust? Oh, it is morning dew. Yeah? And then she told us, another thing she told us was, you see that school, Green Hill? You guys, in 3 years, you'll have like 4 schools here. You see, the moment Green Hill comes here, you guys, you're done. You are done. Man, Green Hill has been there. On that road from Chira up to our place where you turn off, Green Hill is still the only big school there. Others are small schools, budding schools. Because the dust is too much, also the cost of putting up a school there is, and you expose children to that kind of dust, yeah? So imagine the developers are a bit slow on that, yeah? But I want to thank God that we have a petrol station, glory to God. You guys, brokers can make you go for fool's gold, eh? So, but eventually, let me tell you, if it wasn't the Lord telling us to buy that land, I don't know where I would be. Maybe we would have bought in Bukasa, wherever, where now we'd have to cross because our children are studying in Kungu. And now everything eventually worked out for the good. But at that time when we were buying the land, the only thing I knew was ask God, pray to God about the decision you're making. There was no dream telling us, you buy the land in Kasangati. And one of the other things that we went through was later, when we were buying the land, the broker told us it's called Buwate. So we were so glad to be in Buwate because at that point, it was one of the budding suburbs, yeah? When we got the title, you know that we're in Seta Kasangati. But my sister-in-law said, me, I'm in Buwate. She didn't want to be called, but she's in Seta Kasangati. Then I said, okay, suppose we call it Setake. Yeah? She's like, no, me, I'm in Buwate. I bought land in Buwate. Actually, when people ask me where I stay, I tell them I stay on the border of Buwate and Kasangati, but on the side of Buwate. So for you guys stay on the side of Kasangati. So, and if I had known that time that Bobby Wine stays there, she didn't mention anything. Yeah? She didn't mention anything about Bobby Wine staying that side. Because, of course, she knew that if you say that Bobby Wine stays there, and at that time he hadn't, of course, stood for what? For whatever. But he had so many goons. And she didn't, I don't remember her mentioning that. And now later, I realized that Bobby Wine is in our what? In our area code, he's in my backyard. So the last time when they summoned him, Alan, when they grabbed him from the airport, I was there waiting for the chopper maybe to just airdrop him like so in his home. There was a lot of military presence on our road. I was like, but now what is this? Yeah. Then when you come here, you hear how pastor is saying this guy, Mufu, what? You're like, hey, what is going on? Yeah. But let me tell you something about God. When he tells you to wait patiently, he's not a sadist. That he's getting your promise and dangling it and laughing and saying, ha, 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 ha. Do you want it? Ha, 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 ha. You see how Bobby's waiting? Do you want, like, you know? He's not dangling it like that over you. And that is why I think so many people are so negative about being patient. Yeah? And then we also have the sense of self-entitlement, where you go to a restaurant, you pay money, I want my food, I wanted it yesterday before I even paid. Yeah? Then, no, with God, there is nothing like a sense of entitlement. You have his word, and when he tells you to wait, it is not him being a sadist and dangling the promise, and he's getting all the joy out of stretching you and making, you know, there are sometimes... Have you felt like that before? Okay, at least you guys are now mature in your walk with the Lord. But let me speak to the immature person who thinks that, God, you're just dangling my promise like this and having a good time seeing me and how I'm crying for it and how I'm not. That is not how our Father is. The one who has told you to pray until something happens, he is more intent on making that promise coming to pass, more than even you. To the power 10, glory to God. Amen. Psalm 37, verse 7 to 8. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. Rest in the Lord. Resting. Like I said, you had rather have a believer doing something carnal. Many believers would rather be doing carnal things than actually waiting upon God. And it's a daily challenge. Let me tell you, in this life, you will see people get what you're waiting on God for much less than what you have invested. I'll say that again. You see, there are people who will get what you have taken years to believe God for. Yena jana chfuna swi, they run. But for you, you're here praying for that promotion, what? But this person just comes in the next day, they are promoted. Yay! God, what's going on? But you do not know what they have done. And you do not know, even if they haven't done anything evil, you don't know their path. For you, you may have to pray until something happens for yours. You may have to pray and fast for even the littlest, the smallest things that someone else didn't need to believe God for. I see it every day happening in our lives. All of us who are here, who are married, we didn't get married under the same circumstances. Maybe for you, it was, hey, you have to break things about what? Break, uproot, what? Go for deliverance. Then someone comes swinging by. Before they know it, kadali, yeah? And you're like, hey, the most carnal of all sisters I see. Yeah, Fumbidwa. Yeah, I'm here. I'm for holiness, what? I'm waiting. Yeah? The person just comes, we. Before you know it, you don't know what is working for them. You don't know. So don't fret. Don't fret. You don't know. And also, you don't know what someone else has done. You don't know the price they have paid. And these are some of the things that keep me grounded, especially for the promises that God has given LAT. When I look at what we could possibly do to get LAT to enter its... But I don't think we don't have those ideas. We have them. Hey, we have them. But when we look at doing those things, you even fear. You're like, me, I cannot come and I start selling oil about what? I don't have it in me. Yeah? I am not going to be a salesperson. I'm not going to be a model, clothes model, so that I get people coming here. No, I don't have that in me, you know? So, you don't know. And then you see, now that is usually used, like you can say you're John, you're just using Band-Aid like to heal yourself. But there are people who have actually done the right thing. But you don't know what they have actually done. You don't know that they put in their time also. Hallelujah. Our forefathers put in their time. You also have to put in your time. Wait patiently. You don't know. You don't know what people have gone through. You don't know the backstory. All you see is, Elizabeth went to America. Nangi kangende to America. Do you know what she put in? Can you be able to put in the same? Kakati, wait. Wait and get your cues from the Lord. Don't fret. You start looking at other people, you just don't know. You just don't know. The other day I was having a conversation, I was in the gym. Yeah, I go to the gym. I've said that before. So I was having a conversation with a lady there. And you know this, you know sometimes, but where are we ladies like this? Rachel, why don't we just tell the truth? So this lady, she's there, working out. We're like, okay, she's working all the angles, man, she's just... We're like, you know that the gym person, everyone's like, mama, She had all the muscles in the right place, maximus, gluteus, about what, in the right place. Then she had her water bottle, a swanky water bottle, like this swanky looking nice. Ngojira bidadala, you just, that meant you see it, you see muscles. So now after, as we are working out, they put us in the same group. The trainer says, all of you, the three of you, come. Be in the same group, I'm going to give you the same drills. So we start working. We're under instruction. We are working. So conversation starts. So as always, all women in the gym, and even men, by the way, more men actually than you. And so how did you, get to where you are? What is your fitness journey like? She says, for me it is this. It is just dieting. Watch what you eat. What. She says, selling those things. And we're like, but all those things we have done. But I was like, just keep doing that. And so I asked her, so what are you drinking? I'm like, what is? The bottle is even nice. What are you drinking? She's like, no, it's just warm water. But, you know, I couldn't see Blunji because, gym bottles that are like dark. Yeah? So you can see. Now you could see things floating down there. But I was like, anyway. So... She walks out, then after she's like, you guys, I need to get going. So she goes. Now, guess what happened? When that meant she leaves, we are there even discouraged. We're like, but trainer, also us, we're doing the same thing this lady has done. What is not happening? She says, my friend, that one even had surgery. Just keep quiet. Do you know? Do you know how I went for that dumbbell? I just went, I was like, but why do people just say the truth? I started even lifting my, why do people just cut Roger to Gamba Mazima? That she was, she's like, that one, she went for surgery. If you had seen her before. So now the trainer snitches on her because she could see that now Banababidi Abasigade. We were now just disappointed, demotivated. Well, you know, even she would, you know how you're supposed to rest about for how many? She's like, you guys, up. But we're all like, man, you're doing all those things. Then she said, what's wrong with you women? Yeah? She had surgery. And from that time, The surgery put her to some point, but the things she was saying are actually true, but the surgery jump-started her fitness journey. So all the things she's doing, the things she was saying, she does. But she eliminated akaka surgery. And now for me, I was like, she should have just started from there. Because the truth is, man, her stomach is as flat as an ironing board. What you can... And she's like, by the way, that one, when it comes to olabago, her water bottle, that mulimwe bintu. I'm like, okay. You know, there was no any other conversation. We pulled our rounds. We said, afterwards, I just left. But it just made me think, you don't know what people have actually gone through. So you will start what? Fretting. And not waiting. You're not giving the gym time. You're not trusting the process. But for you, you're like, me, I want to be like so-and-so. I want to be like so-and-so. And of course, there are other things like genes that come into play and all that, yeah? So let us not fret, because you don't know. My point with that story is, you don't know the full story. You don't know people's full story. Yeah? The reason I even started with Alan's testimony is many people maybe don't know Alan's full story. But he will sit you down and he will tell you what he has been through. Yeah? You don't know the full story. So people don't say the truth. People rarely, rarely tell you the truth. Especially women, yeah? You see Robin looking nice. Say, Robin, oh, koze sakachi. She said, bus soap. Mukwano. You know that Mukwano will not take you anywhere. Say, so Judith, what do you use on your hair? Moviti, yeah? You're like, the way no Movit. And why say Judith is hair? It cannot be Movit. You just cannot be move it. She says, yeah, just drink water and move it. It's going to... So you're like, You don't know the full story. So don't fret. Don't fret. Ate when she tells you the story, you're like, ate now I cannot what? I cannot do those things. Yenga ye panka. You start saying those. Yenga ye panko koze save you. Ye rachita koe some move it, but you asked for the story. You ask for that story. You see Christine driving her big car. You say, that car there, I take, I receive. You ask her story. You say, you know what, on second thoughts, let me just be in my car to be really wow. Yeah? You see Dennis. She's there splitting statistics on NTV. They are taking him. You're like, yeah, that guy, your guy, you are gay. But when he tells you the story of how he got the statistics, he put in time. He had to read. He had to get the information so that he doesn't look stupid on TV. Negoba gamba, so just Bible, just Bible. Tell him stats. You stick in Leviticus. After Leviticus, you're like, I'm done. You end in Leviticus. Psalm 62, verse 5. My soul waits silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. Again, we see wait silently. As you wait, don't complain. Yeah? Don't complain. Don't be tova mumbera. But keep your expectation. Keep expecting him to do you good. And lastly, Psalm 40, verses 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. Yeah? Waiting patiently for God is not a passive thing. It gets you results. It is not passive. It gets you results. And let me tell you something. At the very best, do it by default. If he tells you to wait and you catch your gala cola watch. Teddy, you want to shock God? Sometimes I ask myself, like, just realistically, Joanne, what do you want to do about that matter? Then I realize I also don't know. I don't have what to do, so I just wait. I wait, knowing that I'm not passive. Hallelujah. Are you encouraged? Yeah. Every time we talk about waiting, people live with long faces. But I hope today I have encouraged LAT to wait patiently on the Lord. Wait patiently for your answers. They are coming. Tobivamu. Wait silently. Don't complain. Keep your expectation like that farmer. Don't complain to uproot the things you're praying for every day. Yeah? And you hear someone's testimony and you go and you start complaining. You know, this, I found myself after that dream. I honestly didn't. There was nothing deep about it. Apart from just going back to the basics, the scriptures I've shared with you. My soul, wait patiently. Don't go. Don't go on your own. And you end up buying that land. And then when the land goes down, you feel like you are cheated. How many of you have gone through such an experience? You buy something, and then before you know it, Anne comes and tells you, Aunt Belinda comes and tells you, you know, I have the same thing, even got it at half the price you bought it. Because you were hot on the deal, someone ya kocha, yeah? You were hot. You wanted to get it at that point. And God is like, you wait. I'm going to send you Anne, who will tell you where to get that very same thing at half the price. Hallelujah. Amen. So as we pray, I didn't think that I would say anything else about push, about praying until something happened, until Esther had the dream. And you know what? I was ministering on praying until something happens. So I didn't think that I was going to relate... I didn't think that I was going to relate my dream to pushing. I was just going to come and talk about patience. But it seems, or it's evident that God wants us to exercise patience. Exercise patience. Hallelujah. We are blessed. Yes, Father, we thank you for today. Lord, we thank you for your people. Lord, we thank you because you are a good God. You are a God who deals with us patiently, Father. Lord, we know that you're a good father, that you don't tell us, you're not sadistic in your ways. You don't tell us to be patient so you can have a kick out of it. But Father, you know that through patience and faith, we inherit the promises you have given us. Now, Lord God, we pray for the grace to wait. We pray for the grace to be patient and silent before you. We pray, Lord God, for the grace to be patient and express thanksgiving and praise. Help us, Lord God, as we pray, as we are in this season of praying until something happens, for those things that we have prayed for a long time. Lord, where you have to work in people's hearts, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord God, to exercise patience even towards those people. Help us, Father, to exercise control over our souls, to possess our souls as you have told us, Father. Help us, King of Glory. And Lord God, for what you have for us as LAT 2025, help LAT. Help LAT, Father. Help us, the leaders, not to grow weary, not to complain, not to do things out of the flesh, but Father, to wait on you, to move only when you move. Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we prayed. Amen.
Last Adam Tabernacle, Christ for the Nations.